Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with 1-800-Radiators, Mr. Kelly Grace, who's the Vice President of Franchise Development for 1-800-Radiator. And 1-800-Radiator is one of the fastest-growing franchises in North America. 1-800-Radiator delivers brand-new radiators within 2 to 3 hours to its local customers and next day to customers outside the same-day area. In addition, their fast delivery, their radiators and airports line come from with a lifetime guarantee and are sold with the most competitive prices and from a local owner-operator who ensures the best experience for their wholesale customer base. This extremely effective franchise model has enabled 1-800-Radiator to become the largest independent direct distributor in North America, and that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. You still remember how to do this? I almost forgot.
How's your moving along yet?
Yeah, it sure is. How's your vacation? I know you've been doing a lot of things since we last spoke on the air.
Yeah, it's what you do in the summer, of course.
Right.
Take a few days off here and there. Here in the Northeast, this is our best time of the year for weather and doing stuff outside. And there's more activities. You have more stuff planned. So.
Right.
I don't like missing work, but.
It's true. I know. Well, it's a nice day here in Pennsylvania. It's a little cool out. It's not too hot, so I could
right.
You could feel traces of fall possibly coming, but I think I'm being a little over-anxious on that. It's been pretty hot July, that's for sure.
Right. The summer's going pretty quick. It's already
it sure is. It does go by fast, If you remember, our last show, we met with James Franks, who was the National Director of franchising for Baskin-Robbins. And it was for 62 years, Baskin-Robbins has been making people feel good inside and out. I thought it was a very interesting show. James has a lot of experience in franchising. Baskin-Robbins has over 5,800 locations worldwide, and the timing was appropriate, too. July was actually National Ice Cream Month.
Right.
But it was a good show. What were your thoughts on the last show?
Yeah, it was. We were looking forward to that show, obviously, for a few weeks, and everybody knows the Baskin-Robbins brand, and there's so much history behind it. Obviously, what we liked about James, he was very passionate about the company. Those are a lot of times exciting shows when obviously you can really tell how excited someone is to be at their company. And he's
their
experience in franchising. He's been in the business a bunch of years.
It's a couple decades, I think, now,
right.
That he's been involved in franchising, and you could see that, as you said, he's very happy selling this concept to people, And I like what he mentioned. He mentioned that Baskin-Robbins is an experience, kind of like I tell my business students that Starbucks is an experience. You're not just buying ice cream, Don, and you and I are both customers to Baskin-Robbins. We've been there. The product is not just ice cream. I think he mentioned that it's fun. You get this feeling. You don't get too many unhappy people walking out of a Baskin-Robbins,
Well, they have 5,800 locations, so there's a
lot
for them. And I guess with them co-branding with Dunkin' Donuts, that's put more of the brand throughout throughout the country, of course. So, and they run a lot of interesting promotions. Well, they have 31-cent scoop night, I think, was one of the things they do.
That was one of them, and it was interesting, coming up with, I think you asked the question, and I think a lot of people had this question, that how they come up with the 31 flavor concept, it's
right.
31 days in a month,
I just never thought of that.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people listening to the show, they didn't know either, as the show does, it educates people, on the different franchise concepts. He also got into one of the questions we asked him, what qualifications does Baskin-Robbins seek when looking for new franchisees? And here was just a couple things James mentioned. He said the desire, resources to be selected as a franchisee, readiness to build your business versus merely working in your own store. That was very important to him. The drive to maintain operations excellence. ability to create and manage a team that effectively recruits, trains, retains, and also motivates people. A strong desire to build incremental income through constructing and operating your own franchise. Passion and leadership skills for delivering a superlative customer experience while maintaining a dedication to Baskin-Robbins' core values. And their core values being honesty, transparency, humility, integrity, respect, fairness, and responsibility. And also an understanding of the local culture, you know, knowing your area, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a very complete answer. That's why they're a great company. You know?
Absolutely, you know, and they have a great training program. So, you know, I would like to have James back definitely in the near future, you know, and just as we watch the growth of this this fantastic franchise, you know. So right. You did a great job, though.
Definitely.
So what do we have going on over the next couple months, Don? I know you and I are going to be pretty busy now. No more vacations.
Right. Right.
So what's going on today and over the next, I guess, 2 months?
Well, today's Kelly Grace, 1-800-RADIATOR.
Right.
We talked about that a little bit, so we'll hear everything and learn about that concept. And next week, Maury, we're meeting with Tom Scarta,
mm-hmm.
a franchise pro, has been in the business a while. That's August 14th.
That's right. He's got a great story, too.
At the end of the month, August 28th, we're meeting with Navis Pack and Ship. I'm familiar with this company a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be an interesting show. And then, you know, we have shows up till October. In September, we're meeting with Postnet.
That's right. That should be interesting.
Also, I Sold It. It's an eBay concept franchise. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That one's with William Finkman, Don, and that's a great story. It's something definitely different. For one, we haven't had this franchise concept on the show, but he's a very young franchisee. I believe he's 22, 23 years old, college graduate.
Right.
Owns two I Sold It on eBay franchises, doing very, very well. And I know you have an interesting article today, too, to kind of discuss on that topic. You know, should college graduates go into franchising? You know, it's a big debate. I mean, we could spend days talking about that topic.
In early October, Marty, meet with Moran Industries.
Right.
A very well-known national franchise representing some different automotive concepts like Mr. Transmission, Milex, Altamir, SmartView Window Solutions.
Right.
So that's down the pike a little bit, but we're very excited about that show in the future.
Yeah, so we have a lot going on, you know, over the next 2 months. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, we're going to have to start promoting our 100th show coming up in November, you know. That's a real milestone, you know, so, and that's going to be a fun show. I think you and I spoke about doing like a two-hour segment on that as well. So
past guests on, and
it's going to be fun. So we already have some great guests booked for that show already. There's a lot of people calling in asking to be on the show. So, I'm excited about that.
Good. Let me see here, Marty. We like to talk about upcoming franchise shows around
mm-hmm.
the country. The Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo in September have a few things going on. They have a show down in Tampa, Florida, September 6th and 7th.
Oh, good.
The 20th and 21st of the month, show out of San Diego. And then later in the month, September 27th and 28th, Seattle, Washington is going to be having one of their franchise shows. Anybody
right.
needing information, go to U.S. Franchise Expos. That's with an S, .com, usfranchiseexpos.com.
Okay, good.
And we always like to give our listeners just statistics in the franchise industry. Marty found this from Fran Data.
Okay.
It says their new concept report, their first quarter 2008. In the first quarter of this year, it says over 120 new franchise concepts were
wow.
started.
Okay.
They said the brands are from 61 different sectors, including 8 new pizza franchises.
8? Wow.
8 new pizza franchises. I know our company exhibiting at the IFE DC show. I mean, there must have been about between 12 and 15 different pizza franchises there.
That's
I'm not
true,
sure if any
yeah.
of those were newer ones, but 8 new pizza, 5 new sub-concepts. So we got a lot going on in food, and 5 new packing and shipping companies. You know, we just talked about a couple of those companies that we'll be having on some of our upcoming shows.
Right.
These brands are all new to franchising, though some of them have been around for many years as a company. They have large growth plans and need the support and services of suppliers.
That's great.
Now, I don't know that stat compared to the previous year, but that's a lot of new concepts, 120.
It seems like it, doesn't it? I remember we had this interesting stat from, actually 2005 was the record. I can't remember what the number was. I'm going to have to go back to our website or archives, but I think that was the record year, actually.
It says in 61 different sectors. Now, there's a whole bunch of sectors within the food category.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm sure this covered a lot of different industries. It's usually the case when we're seeing newer franchisor and franchise concepts coming on the market. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's something, Marty. The Wall Street Journal by Richard Gibson. FTC's revised disclosure rules make more information readily available. The Federal Trade Commission's new disclosure rule for franchisors should help would-be franchisees make more informed investment decisions. The revisions, which took effect July 1st, bring the regulations into the electronic age. Now franchisors, also known as franchisors, can file disclosure documents online, eliminating the need for an in-person meeting. Franchisors will have to list any lawsuits they filed against franchisees in the past year.
Wow,
I guess this was the change. They have to file any lawsuits. Previously, only franchisee-initiated litigation had to be reported.
That's correct, right.
Now I guess all the lawsuits, which I guess this is good for the potential investor or franchisee to really know the full story of what's going on with the franchise.
Right, it gives them more information, you know, to make a more intelligent decision, Don, you know. So
right.
I think it's a good thing.
It says, for example here, a franchisor that sues to collect late royalties from franchisees, a possible indicator of a financially troubled chain, would have to make that public as well.
Wow, that's interesting.
It says, also a potential franchisee wants to know if he or she is getting into business with someone who's just litigious. Says Lois Greisman, the director of the FTC's Division of Marketing Practices, who oversees franchising for the agency. The revised regulations simplify how franchisors report franchise turnover, transfers, and terminations for the past 3 years, which, again, should make a potentially troubled franchisor easier to spot. Under the old rule, it was fairly easy to disguise store failure from a new franchisee coming in, says Carmen Caruso, an attorney who handles franchising cases at Stahl Cohen Crowley Addis LLC in Chicago. Franchisors now must disclose whether a franchisee will be given an exclusive territory in which to do business. And the existence of confidentiality agreements that limit what current or former franchisees can say about their experiences must be revealed. So this is interesting. A lot of changes, additions.
Yeah,
some franchisees, attorneys, and advocates are unhappy that the FTC still doesn't force franchisors to disclose how profitable their average outlet is. However, if a franchisor does publish earnings claims or similar data, they must be able to prove the figures are realistic if challenged.
Right.
And this guy ending this... This person, David French, says, generally, we're pleased with the overhaul. He's the VP of Government Relations for the IFA. The quality of pre-sale disclosure has been strengthened. Like the 30-year-old rules they update, the revisions deal only with pre-sale matters, not issues that might arise after a franchisee has signed up.
Right, right.
But overall, it's some pretty interesting changes to the FDD.
It's good for the franchisee, Don. You know, I mean, again, it just gives them more ammunition to make a decision. You know, I mean, again, this is a very complicated process, you know. So, absolutely.
Right.
I think it's a great thing that's going on with all this information. Some people think there should even, as you said, be more information disclosed, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you remember when we had the show Aaron's on our show. I mean, they were very big on disclosing a lot of the financial data to their prospective franchisees, which is why you had a lot of accountants actually invest into the franchise as well. You know, they said, wow, this business model really works. So,
right.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, why shouldn't the franchisee know about all lawsuits, even if it's the franchisor that's filing? Because that can mean a problem.
I totally agree, absolutely.
Yeah, so here's something... from Franchising World Magazine in the May issue, Franchising Weathers Economic Challenges by Matthew Shea. The state of the economy in recent months may have caused a case of the jitters among the general population by judging by the overwhelmingly optimistic comments shared among those who attended the IFA's 48th annual convention, which I was at, you know, very good show down in Florida. There are more opportunities than there are challenges. While each economic cycle's ups and downs are caused by different conditions, franchising has historically outperformed independent businesses during times of economic uncertainty. One major reason is job security. As corporations tighten their belts and reduce their workforces, those who find themselves facing layoffs begin to search for alternatives. You know, we talk about it all the time. One popular alternative is self-employment, and it doesn't take long to realize that owning a franchise is a much better alternative than starting a business from scratch. the continued growth rate of the franchising industry has positioned it as a critical component of economic growth, one that rose above the challenges of the economy when other business sectors could not. That assertion is evident in the data that the IFA Educational Foundation recently released in Volume 2 of the Economic Impact of Franchise Businesses conducted by PricewaterhouseCoopers. Amazing I can say that, but I can't say 30-year-old rules. Yeah.
That's
it says
true.
That between 2001 and 2005, a period during which our economy faced a year or two of uncertainty, the franchise industry as a whole grew by more than 18%, and more than 140,000 new franchise establishments began operating in local communities across the country. I think we've thrown out that stat before, but just the update when the economy's going a little rough, and
right.
The problem seems like franchising industry is still growing.
Well, you used the clever word. I was having this conversation last week when I was in Chicago, and I did give you credit for it, the word forced entrepreneurship.
Right.
You know, people were asking me about, and I don't know if you have the copyright on that word, but it's still very clever.
It's in the works, yeah.
That was, but it's very true, you know. I mean, that's what's really going on right now is that forced entrepreneurship, people, companies downsizing and things like that, you know. So it's really an interesting article.
Right. It says franchising grew by more than 40%, while all of the businesses increased by only 26%. Employment in franchising grew by more than 12% compared to the 3% of other businesses. And it talks about here, Marty, the increase in attendance in IFA's trade shows across the country is further evidence of the industry's high performance and the increase in franchise sales. The IFA's oldest trade show, the IFE, the International Franchise Expo, completed its 17th year in Washington last month and again saw healthy numbers of prospective investors. I was at that show also as well, exhibiting. You know, some days seem down, some seem fine.
Right.
I'm not sure. I guess they just calculate how many people come in the door off the street. Three other IFA-sponsored trade shows conducted in L.A., Miami, and Richmond were launched in 2004, 2007, and 2008 respectively, and all have seen significant growth in terms of booth space rented and attendance of potential franchisees. There's definitely have been more franchisors that have been exhibiting at the shows. And we talked about in the past about trade shows just making a comeback in general. I guess sidetracked by the internet and online stuff in recent years, which is still popular, but trade shows look like they're going well.
Right, absolutely.
Here's something, entrepreneur.com by Jeff Elgin, about buying a franchise, his newsletter. Is it smart to buy a franchise right out of college? We've talked about this in the past.
Right, this is a hot topic.
It says, lately, many young entrepreneurs have been interested in the idea of buying a franchise right out of college. Though this idea might sound appealing on the surface, unless you have other factors in your favor besides a college degree, he says that he wouldn't recommend it. I've seen both franchisors and franchisees try this in the past with very mixed success rates. 3 to 5 years ago, a number of franchise companies were experimenting with the idea of marketing franchises to recent college graduates, with parents typically providing the financing. But in today's marketplace, strong franchise companies aren't showing much interest in recruiting new franchisees from the pool of recent graduates. Why the change? The previous attempts to turn recent college graduates into franchisees failed for two main reasons, he says here, Marty. One was abandonment. Franchisors found that young franchisees with no skin in the game or really much investment or their own out-of-pocket in terms of personal cash investment were far more likely to give up whenever the going got tough and move on to something else.
Right, right.
The parents were left owning a business they didn't want, expecting the franchise company to get them out of the situation.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. Two, he mentions employee management. The simple fact is that most recent college graduates don't have any experience recruiting and retaining good employees.
Mm-hmm.
This is the single most important factor for success in most business format franchise businesses. Everyone makes mistakes learning how to hire and manage effectively,
right.
But the franchisors were used to new franchisees who had already learned many of these lessons.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, Don, because the franchisee, William Finkman, from I Sold It on eBay, he mentioned, I actually saw him making a presentation, and he mentioned in the beginning, and he'll talk about this when we have him on the show in October, he had a difficult time in the beginning managing people, because in most cases he was a lot younger than
right.
the people he was managing, you know, and I think he had a difficult time with that. He became more comfortable over time, you know, doing it. But yeah, that's always a big concern as well. So that's
right.
Very interesting.
He says, if you're absolutely determined to buy a franchise right out of college, these points may help you gain a franchisor's acceptance. He says, get general experience. The most valuable thing you can do to prepare for franchise ownership is to gain practical experience working with minimum wage employees, especially in the management role. He talks about, two, get specific experience. If you've identified a business concept you want to pursue, wonderful strategy is to work in an existing franchise like the one you want to start.
Right.
Makes sense. Have a business plan. The discipline of putting together an effective business plan forces you to anticipate potential challenges and figure out how you're going to deal with them in advance. Something you're good at, putting together a business plan.
There
you
go.
Important.
Right.
It says money versus Thanksgiving dinner. An old adage says, never go into business with your friends or relatives. It should probably violate this maxim right off the bat because most recent graduates are a little short on money. They'll probably have to get, of course, money and capital.
Right, that's true.
The business, have to probably get that from family. And then last point, that if you are going to start up, keep these things in mind, is self-assessment. My final advice is perhaps the most important. Spend sufficient time answering the question, is this really what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the drive and the fire and the belly to succeed in your own business? That's something that a lot of franchise consulting companies are great at,
right.
Talking about that point.
Oh, absolutely. That's interesting.
So we've talked about this in the past. We've are kind of mixed ourselves on it. We've heard the good things.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we've heard both sides of the
so
story.
I guess maybe he's saying it's rough because we're in a little tougher economy. But but I do think there are some franchise concepts out there that could be a fit for younger people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it does make sense if you think about it that because they are younger, I mean, they really haven't, I guess, created any bad habits yet. I think about how difficult it must be for, some people coming out of corporate America. They've achieved all this success, Don, and then sometimes, it's kind of like starting all over, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't there a learning curve, where you have to kind of learn a system all over again, So I do. I have mixed feelings on the topic, And I think after we speak to William, when we have him on the show, you'll probably be convinced that, it could work. But it depends, Again, as we've said, every single show, this is about our 90th show, franchising is certainly not for everybody,
right.
And
that's what's nice about the franchising industry is just the diversity. You have a lot of lower-end investment.
Absolutely.
Which could maybe be better for a younger person if it's a low investment franchise. And just,
right.
And just the fact you're getting all the training and ongoing support, which is probably the most important thing to any business owner,
mm-hmm.
especially someone younger who's maybe lacking that experience in management skills.
Absolutely. And there's so many choices today, too, which is, a blessing and a curse, isn't it? We're up to almost
right.
like 80 industries. You have about 3,000 different systems to choose from.
Right.
Where do you begin? I'm sure one of them is usually a great match. It's just kind of like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes, though.
Right.
You could use process of elimination and things like that. But
That's why you need professional help. You need to speak to a specialist, an expert
exactly.
in franchising. Yeah.
Absolutely. Somebody who's been doing it a long time. And as you said, I think you used the word earlier, assessment. Taking a good assessment as far as, what you like to do, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, and
right.
what hours you looking to work.
Right.
When we had those young fellows from Fish Window Cleaning, their goal was this. It wasn't just so much that they wanted to own a window cleaning franchise. Their goal really was that they wanted to spend more time with their family. Franchising is really a means to an end.
Spend more time with family and with a franchise that you feel has a lot of growth potential in your market.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's a great topic, and we're going to have to continue discussing that one as time goes on.